Welcome to It Just Means Less, where we talk all things SEC sports. Here are your hosts, Wells Perigin and Jacob Holman.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to It Just Means Less podcast. I'm your host, Wells Perigin, here, as always, with my co-host, Jacob Holman. How are you, Jacob?
Man, I'm doing okay. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. You know, spring break is on the horizon. I got one more day of class before I get to have a week of doing a paper and watching some all-day ball because the SEC tournament will be going on. But I guess I'm doing a lot better than our records was last week.
Yeah, that's an understatement. I think anybody would be doing better than our record last week. But the thing about it is, could have done worse. Let's look at it that way. We could have done worse. I don't really know how much worse we could have done, but we could have done worse. But looking at it, I mean, if we just want to jump straight into it.
Might as well.
State shouldn't have lost at home to Texas. I mean, Alabama shouldn't have lost either one of those games, but they suck. So they lost both of them. I mean, nobody expected Arkansas to get beat like that at South Carolina.
Mm-mm.
You know the line closed at -1.5 South Carolina.
Really?
It opened at 1.5 in Arkansas's favor, and it closed at 1.5 South Carolina before the game started. So I don't know what happened there, but some ball knowers must have known.
Yeah. I mean, so we're talking about records. I went 6-10. Not great. Jacob went 5-11.
Two great heights.
Yeah, for sure. If I was 6'10", I wouldn't be recording this podcast right here. I'd probably be playing at least some community college basketball somewhere or something like that.
Community college for sure.
But yeah, Jacob went 5-11, so that brings our season totals to 90-46 for me and 85-51 for Jacob. So Jacob's got to get on his tail this week if he's going to make a comeback.
Six different picks this week, going for it.
I'll let you go first. I'll open the door. I'll go first, and then you can let you pick. Yeah, I'll let you whatever we want to do, however we want to do it. But something else that happened last week. Auburn broke the streak at Rupp. I mean, I didn't see that coming. I had Auburn losing, unfortunately, but I was glad it happened, especially with how the day progressed. You know, Auburn being able to break the streak at Rupp, even though I wasn't able to watch the game from, 12 minutes left to go in the first half all the way till there was a minute left in the first half. So that was a little bummer. But then Auburn wins all on my high horse, and then I turn around and I watch Tennessee make almost a half-court shot to beat Alabama and give Auburn the outright championship. Auburn baseball beat Oregon State that night. I mean, it was a great day on Saturday.
Yeah, the devil rejoiced. Going to that Alabama-Tennessee game, I mean, Alabama wins the game for the first 39 and a half minutes, and then you lose it in the last 30 seconds. So, it happens. It is what it is. And last night was bad. Alex Condon is I knew he was already good, like at least rebounding wise. I know I've taken this over a couple of times. I knew kind of what to expect a little bit, especially with Clayton Jr. It's like I told one of my friends last night, if it wasn't for Bruman Sears, he'd be the best player in the league. You knew what you're going to get out of him. I think he had like 22, something like that. And then I just didn't expect the offensive outbreak from Condon, but almost, I'm pretty sure half of his points came at least from pulling down the rim. Cause man, that action that they kept running with him on the backside. Oh my God. I was in the student section. Like, you got to give the man his flowers for some of these dunks, man. Like, dude was doing his part, but we both know about Florida coming to our place and winning. So,
oh yeah. I mean, and honestly, Bama made it a lot closer than Auburn did when Florida came to Auburn. I mean, Condon had his way versus Auburn too, the first time, and he's actually a decent shooter to be as big as he is. He can pull up, and you don't big, tall, white guy. You don't expect the offense of versatility that he's got, but he can score in a lot of different ways. And when you got guards like Walter Clayton or like Will, does he say Reichert? Is it Richard?
I don't know. Richard,
or even
Elijah Martin.
Elijah Martin. They got guys that can score, so they get the attention, but they also can distribute. They're not like, Wade Taylor's a great player, but they're not like Wade Taylor. Like, Wade Taylor's not giving that ball up. He's gonna shoot it. So you don't have to you're not worried about Wade passing out to the opening guy like you are with, you know, Mark Sears can do it too. Mark can shoot, but Mark can pass too, kind of thing. So, and that really helps Condon be able to score in his the way he wants to.
Yeah, man, that's a big three-headed monster with those three guards up top. Man, if they play like they did at both Neville and Coleman, man, they got a shot.
I mean, they're the best team in the country if they play like they did there.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they wouldn't even stopping that. I mean, Clayton's just so explosive. He's so fast, and he doesn't play fast. Like, he doesn't get sped up, it doesn't look like. So, I mean, hats off to them. And they don't have to worry about what time they get to play. So,
yes,
you know.
Well, teams that are still trying to figure out what time they're playing, you know, Vandy was able to, the nickel kid was able to make down a three to tie the game to send it to overtime with about 3 or 4 seconds left to go when they played Missouri Saturday, and then they were able to pull away in overtime versus Missouri. So, Vanderbilt has just proven over and over again that that is a hard place to come into and play, and especially on a Saturday. Because they now beat Missouri, Kentucky, Tennessee, barely lost. I know State was a midweek. So, I mean, they're like, they win at home when they play on Saturdays. You know, Auburn was able to go up there on the midweek. A few other teams I have won on the midweek, but like, I'm glad we didn't play there on a Saturday because I would have drove up there and watched us lose. No doubt about it, kind of thing. So, you know, but then they turn around and then they lose at home to Arkansas in the midweek.
Like, yeah, I think you literally said that in the podcast last week, how you said that they can win on a Saturday, but midweek Vandy is not the same. So, and that may be where they struggle come March.
Well, you know, I got a little
on a Thursday or a Friday.
Little hypothesis here, you know, because Vanderbilt is such an academic school, they just wear themselves out doing all their studying during the midweeks. And then come Saturday, they don't got to go to class. That's so they're able to concentrate just on basketball. Because you know those players are for sure, air quotes, going to class and doing all their studying when they're playing a basketball game in the midweek.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I don't think you could ever be more right about anything.
All right, let's see. Anything else? I guess A&M, I talked about Wade Taylor and I kind of dissed him, but now let's give him his flowers. I mean, they lost to Florida Saturday. Both me and him, that's one of the few games me and Jacob got right, kind of thing. But then they were able to turn around and beat Auburn. And frankly, they dominated Auburn. If you look at the stat sheets and you take away one stat, two stats really, but they go hand in hand. Auburn looks like they controlled that game. I mean, Auburn shot 50% from the floor, 40% from three, 87% from three, which is 5 or 6 or more points greater than A&M shot in those things. However, A&M had 20 more boards, and of those, 14 or 15 of them were offensive boards, and they had like 29 second chance points. And that's where they beat Auburn. Auburn could not, for the life of them. And that's what Buzz Williams do. Buzz Williams teams are really good defensively, and they know how to rebound. I mean, Anderson Garcia can get a rebound with the best of them.
Yeah, you know, that's what happened last night here in Coleman. I mean, that was a difference. I think got out rebounded by 15. So, you know, that's really the name of the game. Because, like, if you don't rebound, I don't think you're going to win unless you can knock shots down and not have to rebound.
One other point I want to make before we jump into power rankings is hats off to the bubble teams this week, because all the bubble teams, for the most part, were able to find ways to win. I mean, look to Wednesday night, Oklahoma getting a big win versus Missouri. That's a big win. That's probably a quad one win right there. Yep. You got Arkansas being able to win at Vandy, and that was extremely important because they lost to South Carolina on Saturday, which probably I thought bubbled them out. Maybe they're bubbled in at this point. Texas beating State. You had Georgia locking it down versus South Carolina.
Maybe two wins.
Yeah, two. You're right. Two wins. They beat Texas and South Carolina. Let's see. Vanderbilt. I think Vanderbilt locked themselves up Saturday when they beat Missouri. So then they really weren't on the bubble when they played on the midweek. And then, well, I guess that. So like that. That's about. I mean, you had four or five bubble teams. If you count Georgia, I think Georgia. If you count Georgia and Vanderbilt, all bubble teams were able to take care of business, at least get one win in the past week.
Yeah, I mean, I think I saw a graphic today or last night that said something about 12 of the 16 are in, and OU and Texas are on the first four out. I think so. You know, they play each other Saturday, so you know, I think you mentioned that earlier. that could be a potential play-in game. Mm-hmm. Or winter kind of slides in. But, you know, that'll be interesting come next week. And I think it's always fun to watch the bid Steelers when you're already locked in.
Yeah, you ain't sweating it out.
Yeah, like, you know, I remember having those times where you used to watch those and you'd have a bid Steeler and your team wouldn't make it. That happened a lot for me. So it was always crazy to see those midweek games. How about, I know this is SEC podcast, but have you seen what happens with North Alabama tonight?
If they win, they're in.
If they win and Lipscomb loses because Queens can't make it because they're like a new program, which is the dumbest thing. If you feel like if you move up to D1, I think we mentioned it last year that you should be able to play in it.
Well, I don't know if it was last year. I know it, or 2 years ago, North Alabama was in the same boat. They were in the same boat. So I agree. That's a stupid rule. I really think it's a stupid rule. Maybe you could argue on the opposite side that if you go down, maybe you should need to wait a year or two. But coming up, I mean, you're at a disadvantage anyways. I don't understand why you have to wait.
Right. So, but I think that they were co-champions. Lipscomb and North Alabama were. And so if Lipscomb loses, then North Alabama, if they win, would play Queens, and Queens can't make it. So, you know, got a potential for a few Bama schools. I know UAB's in that potential to maybe bid steal if they were to win their conference tournament, because I think that they're expecting two from the American.
Yeah, I think because Memphis is in. So if they can find a way to win that the thing, then they probably are. Jack State's in the same boat. I think Jack State's second or third, and was that Conference USA? And then South and Troy are not too far back in the Sun Belt. So they all, I mean, you could, Sanford is fourth in SoCon. They haven't looked as good. Maybe I'm the problem.
And you know who their first round matchup is against?
Let's see. They are, is it Furman? It is Furman. Yeah. See, I do represent the school that I attend for law school right now. Ball knower. But, I mean, yeah, this is SEC podcast. But state of Alabama, we talked about how much Auburn and Alabama have improved. State of Alabama in the whole has improved. I mean, you, like you said, South, Troy, Jack State, UNA, Bama, Auburn, and Sanford all have a legitimate shot. It's not within 10% that they make the tournament. Now, maybe UAB's might be the smallest, but like they've been playing competitive basketball this year, which is great for the state.
Just fun to see. Glad to see everybody's like successful. It just makes us look not as redneck.
All right, should we go ahead and jump into these tough power rankings?
Yeah, let's do it. All right, 16, South Carolina, explainable. 15 is LSU. I think they went. No, South Carolina's got two wins. LSU is, they won three?
They've won three.
Yeah, they're, you know, they went, they got 0-2, went 0-2. Mm-hmm. So they're at 15. Texas with a big win on the road at State. They're at 14 still. I think we had, last week we had Georgia at 14, but they went 2-0, so I had to slide them up. And then Oklahoma with a big win last night against Missouri at 12. I mean, at 13.
Yep. And then 12, we have Arkansas. Arkansas went 1-1, which with a nice win at Vandy, but then you turn around and you just got to balance that South Carolina loss. And so we only moved them down one spot, 7-10. Same thing with State. Moved State down one spot. They're now at 8-9 with a decent, pretty a bad loss versus Texas at home, if we're being honest. Georgia, 2-0, didn't necessarily beat the greatest teams, Texas and South Carolina, but 2-0 is 2-0, so we respect that. So we had them at 10. And then Missouri, on the opposite spectrum, went 0-2 with losses to Vanderbilt and Oklahoma. Kind of, you can maybe excuse the Vanderbilt loss, other than the fact that they were up late. And then no excuse to lose to Oklahoma really this late in the year if you're Missouri. So we have them at 9 at 10-7.
All right. At 8, we have Vanderbilt. 8-9, got the win over Missouri, so kind of feel like they had to go above them there. But then a bit bad loss against Arkansas at home. At 7, we have Kentucky going 1-1. Kind of got dominated by Auburn at home, but turned around and beat LSU by 30. So at 6, we have Ole Miss at 10-7, 2-0 this week. Big win against Tennessee last night, and a close one on Saturday against Oklahoma. And then at 5, we have A&M 1-1, but did knock off number 1 at home. So A&M at 5.
Four is Bama, 0-2 on the week. But when you look at the two teams they lost, we have them 2-3 in our power rankings, so can't punish them that much. And they're still in that top half, if you just look, or top four, if you look at ranking, I mean, record kind of thing. Three, Tennessee, 1-1 as well, with a big win at Bama at home, but then you lose at Ole Miss last night, so knock them down a little bit there. 11-6 in conference play. Florida goes 2-0 this week with nice wins versus A&M at home and then at Bama. So give Florida their props at 13-4. And then at one, we have Auburn, 15-2 and outright conference champion. So they deserve the one spot, even though they lost this week in Florida, went 2-0. So I guess we can go ahead and jump into Saturday's games. The last pick'ems for me and Jacob that we really for sure know SEC-wise on a Saturday. So Saturday, March 8th, we got number 19 Kentucky, 20-10, 9-8 in conference play, at number 20 Missouri. Missouri is 21-9, 10-7 in conference play. It is 11 a.m. ESPN. The 11 a.m. is God's time zone, the central time zone, the best time zone. And I'll tell you, well, you know, Jacob, you've been talking about all your little upsets you're going to go with this week. Would you rather be give it and you go the opposite way, or do you want to go first and I'll go the opposite way here?
I'll let you go first. I'll give you the honors.
I think Kentucky's going to get the road win. I'm going to take Kentucky on the go. If you look at Jacob on the Zoom meeting right now, which I'm glad you can't see our faces during the Zoom meeting, Jacob looks like he wanted Kentucky. I'm going to take Kentucky on the road. Missouri just 0-2 the past 2 weeks, which probably means they're going to bounce back on Senior Day and get the win. But I'm going to take Kentucky to get the road win at Missouri.
I got to go Missouri. I got to go. Got to take them at home. I think that atmosphere could be good for them. I know they lost. They lost their back-to-back games on the road. That helps. They play really well at home. So, going to go Mizzou.
All right. Next, we got number 25, Mississippi State. No idea how they're still ranked. 20-10, 8-9 conference play at Arkansas.
They're still ranked.
So now, granted, this ranking came out Monday, and then they lost to Texas on Tuesday. Okay, so, that. But still, I mean, even then, they were 8-8 in conference play, so not doing too well. But they're at Arkansas. Arkansas is 18-12, 7-10 in conference play. It's 11 a.m. SEC Network game. What are you going with, Jacob? I'll go the opposite with you on this one. I'll let you go.
I'm going to stay on the road. I wouldn't hate Arkansas to get it done at home. But you know, I think State's got to get to their 8 or 9 seed, which that's what they're at right now. So 500 is the most Mississippi State thing ever. So they're all, you know, they're always at 8-9 seed game in Nashville. So I'm going to go State to do it on the road.
Which means I'm taking Arkansas. Don't hate it. You know, they're at home, so that's a plus. Senior day for some of them boys. I don't even know how many seniors they got, but I'm sure they got one or two kind of thing. So, you know, the Hogs at home, State's been struggling. They're going 0-2, which means they'll probably go them a little run because that's how their season has been, so which means they'll probably win this one. But I'm going to take Arkansas at home.
All right, next game is Vanderbilt, 20-10, 8-9. In commerce play at Georgia, who's 19-11, 7-10 in commerce play. It's 11 a.m. tip on ESPNU for Central Time, of course. Will be 12 o'clock at Georgia, which is that's where essentially Wells went to school at. Wells went to school at West Georgia at one point in his career. So I have a feeling I know where you're going to go, and I'm going to go Vandy on this one to get it done on the road.
I guess I'll take.
Oh man, dude, take what you want to take.
I wanted to take Vandy.
Oh, okay. Well, if you want to take Vandy, I'll take Georgia.
Okay, I'll take Vandy on the road then. It's not Saturday in Nashville. It is Saturday in Athens. So maybe Vanderbilt is not going to win, but I like them. I think they're going to go into Georgia. Georgia, you know, 2-0. I don't know if I call it momentum just because, I mean, it is momentum, but who they've played so right now. So give me Vandy.
Next game is South Carolina. It's 12-19, 2-15 in conference play at number 4, Tennessee. 24-6, 11-6 in conference play. So 1 p.m. tip on SEC Network. What you got?
I'm going to take Tennessee. Yeah. I'm going to take Tennessee right here. I just don't think South Carolina is going to be able to go up there and get the win. So senior day for Tennessee, and they send South Carolina to the CBI.
Not even that. Yeah, not at
all. All right. Next, we got number 7 Alabama, 23-7, 12-5 in conference play, at number 1 Auburn. Auburn is 27-3, 15-2 in conference play. It is a 1:30 p.m. ESPN game. Iron Bowl of Basketball Part 2. You know, the first one was really enjoyable for me, and it was a great game, honestly. Like, it was a great game. It was high-intense basketball at one point. Jacob texted me and said this is how it should be, just the way that the game is being played. So, hopefully we're able to repeat pretty much the exact same thing in Neville Arena. So, yeah. Who are you going with, Jacob?
I only see one that I know we're going to probably pick the same on. I'm going to go Bama. Not really that confident in it, but it would be the most Alabama thing to go on the road and win this game. Just kind of maybe something clicks. But all I know is that first play of the game is going to be some type of action for Miles Kelly if you get the ball, if y'all get the ball. So just stop it.
Just simply stop it. Is that how it goes? Stop it.
That's all I'm saying.
Hey, I'm going to take Auburn at home.
Great pick, by the way.
Yeah, I got to take Auburn at home, man. Which, if you know, if Jacob's right, if Alabama does win, how about the two teams? I mean, I think we both said early in the year we expected them to split, but we definitely didn't. We definitely wouldn't have said it would have been an away win. Yeah. So,
now, if Alabama does win this game, though, this would guarantee that the next time they would possibly face each other would be the SEC championship game.
What could cause the state to explode for the third time?
Yeah.
You know. I'm okay. I'm gonna get this out here right now. I am okay with Auburn not winning the SEC tournament because, well, let me say that if they make it to Sunday,
this game.
Yeah, I know. If they make it to Sunday, I want them to win it. Yeah. If you make it to Sunday, there's no benefit to losing that game Sunday. However, as long as Alabama doesn't win on Sunday, I'm okay with Auburn. I'm going to be there Friday. So let's okay if Auburn losing in the semis and getting that extra day of rest and that extra day of practice kind of thing. I'm not totally against that happening. But, you know, I don't even know how I started on my little rant about that. But we were talking about them possibly playing again in the championship. So if that happens, I got to root for Auburn right there and we got to win. But if it doesn't, I'm not going to be upset if Auburn gets an extra day of rest.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, next we got number 22, Texas A&M, 21-9, 10-7 in conference play at LSU. LSU is 14-16, 3-14 in conference play. Is the 3 p.m. SEC Network game. Who are you going with, Jacob?
The LSU at home.
Senior day in the PMAC.
Cam Carter, baby. Cam Carter shows up, shows out. A&M is still riding that high, and they're gonna drop this game.
Incorrect. That is wrong. I'm going to take A&M on the road. I think A&M was able to finally get out their little skid where they really wasn't playing bad basketball. They just were unlucky. The opponents they were playing were tough kind of thing. So I think LSU rides their momentum from beating Auburn and from retiring Wade Taylor's jersey after the game on Tuesday night. So give me A&M on the road.
Yeah. All right. That's insane. All right. Next game is Ole Miss, who's 21-9. 10-7 in conference play at Florida, who is 26-4, 13-4. It's a 5 p.m. tip on SEC Network. What you got?
Florida. Florida at home. I just don't see Ole Miss going down to the swamp and winning. But, I mean, Ole Miss has beaten some good teams this year. They've beaten Alabama on the road. They've beat Tennessee at home. They beat Kentucky at home. So it is possible that they can go down into the swamp and get the win. But I just think Florida and them are playing well right now, and I'm going to take them to win.
Yeah, I don't think Ole Miss is going to I think Florida's going to win pretty and kind of dominate a little bit. All right, final game. Is the Red River Rivalry not played in Dallas. Oklahoma, who's 18-12, 5-12 in conference play at Texas, who's 17-13, 6-11 in conference play. 7 p.m. tip on SEC Network. Before I ask, I think it's crazy that they're playing any games past, like, tipping off past, like, 3 or 4 o'clock just because of the tournament starting. Because these two teams are going to be playing on day one.
Right.
So, you know, kind of hate that for them, but boo-hoo. All right, what are you going to go with? I figured I'd give you the honors to end it.
I am going to take Texas at home. I'm going to take the home team. And I can tell by Jacob's reaction, that is kind of who he wanted to go with, too. I think Texas wins and maybe gets in the tournament with this win right here kind of thing. It's hard. Trey Johnson, man, if he gets going, it's hard to stop him. He is such a good basketball player, and he will be a great NBA player. Like, I see it happening kind of thing. So give me Texas in his last game in the Moody Center to get the job done.
Yeah, I'm going to go Oklahoma. Six potential ones. I know the team that's going to do it. The team that is going to mess this all up. I know exactly who it's going to be.
Which one?
Alabama. The Tide is not going to be – let's just say gravity is not going to be working in the Tide's favor on Saturday. So, orange down.
All right, well, that wraps up the regular season pick-ems for me and Jacob. So we decided, because, you know, SEC tournament is always kind of crazy when we try to go through and pick the games out, and we confuse ourselves. We might as well just go ahead and do the postseason awards here. So I think I'll take you want to do it each other or two and two? How you want to do it?
Yeah, we can do two and two, but also we're going to do them now, because that way if we release it on Monday after they're announced, it's going to look like we
know what we're talking about.
Yeah, and so let's just do it now. Also, that way we can have the SEC offices hear our opinions, and
because I know Greg listens. Greg listens to our podcast for sure.
We'll tag him on Twitter for sure. Well, let's do two and two, and then you can take first team. I'll take second team.
All right. So, Coach of the Year, we gave it to Bruce Pearl. Right now, he's 15-2 and the toughest conference in the history of basketball. You know, I projected a lot of teams had him. Auburn top five or so in the league. So not necessarily bringing the team up from, you know, rags to riches kind of thing, but just winning the conference in the best conference in the league. And he did that with three games left. They were able to win the conference with three games left. So we gave Bruce Pearl over the nod. Dennis Gates was close for us, really close, because, you know, going 0-18 last year, they're 10-7 right now, potentially could get 11 wins. So an 11 plus improvement would, you know, it's huge. That's coach of the year deserving, but we decided to go with Pearl, especially because Missouri has kind of slacked off a little bit down the stretch. So Bruce Pearl, coach of the year.
I was going to say about Missouri real quick. I think if they would have won the past two games and not dropped them, they would be at 13-3 right now.
Or no, probably a better case.
13-13?
They're 10-7 right now. So they would have been 13-4.
No, 12-4 or 12. Shit, I don't know. Anyway, I think if they wouldn't have lost the past two, that it would be maybe his to lose.
Player of the year, Janai Broom, had to go with the guy right now. Probably going to be first team All-American. He's kind of not played as well in the past two games, but before that, he was lighting the conference on fire. You know, he had a great game at Bama. He's kind of showed up when the lights have been brightest and he's the best player on the best team. So, you know, Sears and Clayton both have decent arguments for it, especially Sears of late. You know, Sears kind of got a little – he was a little slow to start conference play, but he's picked up. Wart Clayton's been kind of consistent the whole year, but we just decided that Janai Broom was probably worthy of the award.
Yeah, I don't hate it at all. I think, like you said, best player on the best team. I think if Alabama was the best team, you could probably say Sears maybe, or Florida, you know, Clayton. I still think that one would have been difficult, but I think it was up between Broom and Sears for sure. Freshman of the year, Trey Johnson. I know that was Wells' pick at the beginning of the year. I think the dude leads the SEC in scoring with like 21 points per game, something like that. Yeah,
I want to say it was like 20.6.
Yeah. And then the next is Sears at 19.5. So he's leading by whole point, which is, you know, considering how many games and points per game you score, I mean, that's just impressive. So I'm going to go with Trey Johnson. I had Asa Newell as my preseason pick. I feel like as a freshman, those have probably been two of the best, if not the two best. So, and then newcomer of the year, Chaz Lanier, lit it up outside of conference play, but then also continued to play really well in conference play. So figuring that one was kind of understandable. I think you, as far as the player, the freshman and newcomer, I think you might have projected all of those.
Yeah, I went 3-4. I had Todd Golden, coach of the year, which isn't, honestly, looking back at it, terrible. You know, you had Walter Clayton Jr., not terrible. Jackson Robinson, been a little hurt. That kind of hurt him going down for newcomer of the year. Yeah. And, I mean, Ace Newell, not a bad pick. I think Jeremiah Fears is probably number two for freshman of the year. But, I mean, granted, we had a whole non-con to look at this, and the SEC played some really good teams. We were able to really gauge how good the teams were. But we were pretty close when we were going down for our player, coach of the year, all that kind of stuff. All right, so first team All SEC, we gave seven guys first team All SEC honors because we can, even though you only have five on the court. I think they normally give them the six.
Yeah, normally six or seven. Yeah,
so,
six.
But you know, it's our podcast, so we do what we want. So first team All SEC, you know, Jani Broome, Mark Sears, Walter Clayton, all obvious. Colin Murray Bowles, I mean, best player on the worst team, but you know, he's basically the whole team. So.
Averaging almost 18 a game
from as a post player with and he can shoot it, but he's not a great shooter. So 18 a game in like and just all off post work almost. Zakai Ziegler, you know, he's been there forever. He's been on this first team All SEC forever kind of thing, but he deserves to be on it in our opinion. Otega Owe for Kentucky struggled when the Alabama played up there, but for the most part, pretty consistent throughout the year. And then seven, we have Josh Hubbard. He struggled to start conference play, but then he found his groove down the stretch. So those are our seven for first team All SEC.
We have six. We have five of the top seven scorers. And then the next two are on the second team list. At one, we got the 3-point merchant, Wade Taylor, who obviously must be pretty good enough to get his jersey retired as soon as the game ends. That's just crazy. Cam Carter, best player on probably the second worst team in the conference, but still always did his part. Trey Johnson, freshman of the year, probably going to be freshman of the year, you know, best freshman in probably a long time. Probably since Brandon Miller in 23. And then Jeremiah Fears, probably second, like you said, second best freshman, came in and did his part. Him and Jalen Moore really led Oklahoma this year. You know, probably didn't perform as well as they wish they would have, but, you know, Fears did his part, averaging about 16 a game. So, and then we also have Caleb Grill. Dude could light it up. I know he kind of lit Alabama up. Dude could just shoot lights out. Adu Tiro transferred from Kentucky to Arkansas and kind of did his part. I think he had 16 a game. And then Chaz Lanier, as we have newcomer of the year, just always kind of did his part. It's Zakai and Chaz are the two best players for Tennessee. We both feel like so, you know, kind of had to didn't really feel like Chaz was up there to put on first team because there's a lot more guys kind of deserving, but he was definitely not gonna slip past the second team.
Yeah, and you know, we did a good job. I don't know. I guess we'll see it when the list comes out. But Zakai and Chaz are the only two guys to play on the same team. I mean, everybody else is by themselves. Pretty much the leading scorers on all your teams. You got Colin Murray Bowles, you got OA, you got Theo, Caleb Grill, Jeremiah Fierce, Trey Zonch, and Cam Carter, Wade Taylor. All of them are your leading scorers on your team. And then you got, you know, Sears, Broome, Clayton, leading scorers on their team. Kind of thing, but they're on a lot completer teams. They're on good teams. For like, you know, not to say, you know, A&M's not to say some, like, I mean, I wouldn't say Arkansas is a great team, but you know, Missouri, not to say they're not a good team, but I think you would see if you took some of the guys that were on Alabama and Auburn and even Florida and you stuck them on South Carolina, you stuck them on Oklahoma, you stuck them on LSU, their scoring numbers definitely going to go up because of just number of shots they take. Kind of thing. Like I fully believe LeBaron Fylon would probably be the best player on LSU. I think Chad Bagger-Mazar would be the best player on LSU. I think Todd Pettiford would be the best player on LSU. But because of the way they, because of the how good their teams are, their numbers are limited, but they're extremely efficient, which is something that doesn't really get highlighted as much. Like, you know, Josh Hubbard, Wade Taylor, elite scores, not as efficient as some of the other guys that didn't make the list for us are though.
Yeah. Just, you know, looking at this with this, you know, having 14 players, you have 13 different teams represented. Just shows you, again, just how good this league was from top to almost bottom. But even, you know, even we have the two worst teams record-wise in the SEC represented in an all-team or all-SEC team.
Yeah, well, you got
– probably the four of the worst.
Four, because you got Texas, Oklahoma, South Carolina, and LSU represented here.
So, you know, you got the four worst teams in the SEC by record represented on an all-SEC team. Just shows you, you know, that sometimes when you only have really the only one guy that you have, it shows that, you know, with it being a team sport, it's kind of hard for that one guy to always carry the load. So, well, that's going to wrap up. I think it's episode 11 of season 6, if it just means less. We will have a SEC tournament projection. episode come out in a few days, or probably a day or two before the tournament starts. So just kind of be on the lookout for that. We appreciate you listening. We'll see you next week.